Marriage Today presents A Distorted Concept of God by Jimmy Evans.
Let me begin tonight with a teaching about you and God. Both of the sessions that I'm doing tonight are related to your relationship with God. You cannot be set free unless you can touch the healer, unless you can get to Jesus. You can't do it, because He's the only one who can set you free and keep you free. Is a personal relationship with Him. And here's the first problem I want to talk about related to our past, and it's a distorted concept of God. Most people have a distorted concept of God, and most of it comes from our parents' behavior. And again, during this seminar, we're going to be talking a lot about our family history and our parents and things like that. Again, I want you to be honest about your past, but we're going to constantly be talking about the issue of forgiveness of our parents. So I'm not trying to talk you in to being angry at your mom and dad. Okay, I just want to let you know now that their behavior has a massive effect on how you grow up and on how you have a concept of God. Here's what I have found out in counseling over the years, and it's true of me also. Every person I've ever known, their concept of God is more based on their parents' behavior than on anything else. You naturally relate or don't relate to God based on your relationship with your mom and dad. And I want to tell you why this happens now, about the power of parenting and the way God designed parenting to happen. Now, here's what Genesis 1 says. Genesis 1, this is talking about the original creation. It says, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." Now here's what I want you to understand. There's a succession of events related to God's creation of man. And here's the succession. God made them in His image and likeness. Now I want you to understand, Our most distant ancestor, Adam, was created by God Himself. He did not have a father except for God, and he didn't have a mother. Our distant ancestor was the Son of the living God and bore the perfect image of God. In fact, I've heard theologians say that Adam was made so much like God, the angels were probably startled and confused. When they saw Adam and looked at him, they were thinking, "My gosh, what's going on here?" Because Adam was made in the likeness, in the image of God. And then, after God put His image and likeness on Adam and Eve, He said, "Now multiply." What's the point? Parents are supposed to raise their children by being image bearers of God. God never intended for parents to raise their children and to be unrighteous, or to be image bearers of sin, or image bearers of abuse or rejection, or whatever it might be. In the very beginning, God said, "Here's the way that parenting is supposed to work. I'm going to walk with you in the cool of the day, and I'm going to reveal my love and my care and my character and my compassion and my holiness. I'm going to bear it to you firsthand, person to person, Adam and Eve, and I'm going to put my perfect image on you, and I want you to do that for your children, and I want them to do that for their children, and I want them to do that for their children." And that's the way it's supposed to work. But a problem happened. Sin came into the garden. And when sin came into the garden, Adam rejected Eve. They were both placed under a curse, and we'll talk about that more tomorrow. They were both placed under a curse for their disobedience. And what we find is the effect of their sin on their image-bearing ability resulted in a 25% homicide rate in the original family. Cain killed his brother Abel. And out of four people, one of them was killed. That was the result of them marring the image of God on them. Here's what I want you to understand. The purpose of parenting is to bear the image of God to your children. What we find about everyone is, if your parents were good image bearers of God, you have a much easier time receiving Christ and a much easier time praying and worshiping and relating to God. But we deal with people all the time who are very abused and have been through very devastating family backgrounds. Their greatest problem, and when I say greatest problem, I mean the absolute greatest struggle that these people have throughout their entire Christian walk is to reconcile the issues of their parents in their past and to try to relate to God for who He is and not who their parents were. But I just want you to understand, God created parents now and parenting to be an image bearing from father to son to mother to son to mother, daughter, father, daughter, right on down the line, so that our parents are the first gods we ever know, literally. They lead us to Christ. Their image bearing impresses us so much that we want to have a relationship with the God whose image they bear. That's the way God designed it. That's not the way it works, unfortunately. A parent's behavior is either building bridges or barriers between their child and God. Every single act of a parent is consequential. Every single thing that a parent says and does to their child either properly demonstrates the character of God or it does not demonstrate the character of God. And I'm just telling you, I know that there are some of you here tonight, you've just come out of families that are just that are just so painful, and your parents have not acted like God at all. And I want you to know you need to get to the healer. I'm going to try to introduce you tonight to God. I'm not saying who you think God is. I'm saying who He is. I need to get you past your past and past your parents and past all the wrong images that were bore in front of you so that you can get to the true God. You will never be free until the Son sets you free, and you can't get to the Son for who He really is until you're able to disassociate who your parents were and the wrong things they did. We're always thankful for the right things our parents did. And many times our parents do many, many right things. But the things they did wrong directly affect our relationship with God. Let me tell you about the parallels between our parents' behavior and our concept of God. Now, unless you've dealt with these directly, the things that I'm about to say, you probably still have a difficulty in your concept of God and your ability to relate to Him. Let me talk now about the behavior of parents and how it directly affects now our concept of who God is. I'll give you some examples here. If your parents were legalistic and very harsh disciplinarians, you probably believe that God is mad, that He's authoritarian, He's impersonal, and He's demanding. There's a direct correlation now. If your parents were very dominant, very, very strict disciplinarians, maybe legalistic religiously, that's what you think about God, probably. If they were perfectionistic, they had extremely high goals, didn't offer very much praise unless you made straight A's, unless you did the best you could possibly do. In other words, they had what's called conditional acceptance. They accepted you more when you did well than when you didn't. Here's what you need to understand about God. God loves you all the time, but He blesses you when you obey. But even when you're a stinker, He still loves you the same. His blessings are conditional. His love is constant. And see, a lot of times for parents when we're growing up, it's not that way. Is their love is very conditional. They don't accept us. There's a lot of rejection if we don't do exactly what they want the way they want it. Little or no affection. If your parents had little or no affection towards you, you might believe that God's very impersonal and He's distant. Critically or verbally abusive. It's easy to believe that God's angry, that He puts up with people, but He doesn't really like them very much. And it's easy for you to believe that God has a negative voice, like the barking head in the Wizard of Oz. See, when Dorothy and Toto and the Tin Man and the Lion and whoever else was present, when they approached into the room, you know, the wizard's room the first time, remember that head? I am the great, the powerful Wizard of Oz, and the flashing head. Remember that? That's the way most people think God is. The second time they came in, Toto went over and did them all a big favor. And he drew the curtain back, and here's this nice little portly gentleman behind the curtain. And as soon as he's uncovered, he turns. He's precious. That's God. That's the way God really is. He's not the barking head. He's the wonderful person. If your parents were workaholics and their focus was away from the children in the home, it's easier for you to believe that God is detached and uncaring. It's difficult to get His attention. You have to fast for a long time or do something really religious to get his attention. You're not really that important to him. If your parents were abusive or dominating, God rules by fear. Even though I may have to obey him, I don't really trust him. He's moody. If your parents were moody or temperamental, it's easy to believe that God's unpredictable. One day he loves me, the next day he is angry and threatening. From day to day and from circumstance to circumstance, his moods change. If your parents were sinful, immoral, had low standards of moral behavior, it's easy to believe that God doesn't mean what he says. He's extremely gracious and he's a pushover and there's no need to fear him. If your parents were smothering, doting, spoiling, and they never said no, it's easy to believe that God exists only for you. The only thing that matters is your little world, and God must conform to what you desire or what you do. If your parents had favorite children or compared you with your other brothers or sisters, God has favorites. He loves good people more than sinners. He loves me based on my performance. If your parents made promises and broke them, gave warnings, and they didn't follow up, you believe that it's easy for you to believe that God is unreliable and unfaithful. Difficult to believe in his word that he'll really come through. If your parents were hypocritical, they lived one way at home and another way in public, it's easy to believe that spirituality is not relevant in a personal way. It's only for social or outward things. These are just, I'm just saying all these things to kind of jog your memory, because maybe I said one or more of those things and maybe just something flashed in your mind and you realize maybe that's the way it is for you. Maybe your parents were that way, and maybe because they were poor image bearers in an area or areas, or maybe completely, that it's easy for you to believe these things and not to believe what the Bible has to say. So I want to talk to you about the steps to being healed from a distorted image of God. I just want to say one more time, we need a relationship with Jesus Christ, don't we? I mean, we desperately need. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have a relationship with him. But ladies and gentlemen, we need a relationship with the real Jesus. I don't want an American Jesus. I don't want a plastic Jesus on the dashboard. I don't want a Christian TV Jesus. I mean, just someone that's, you know, it changes every 30 minutes depending on who the program is. I don't want a Jesus that is viewed through the dark filter of a problem parent. I want the real Jesus. The only way to have the real Jesus is to not be affected in any way based on our past and our parents. And here are some steps now in being healed of a distorted image of God. Number one, realize the fact that your concept of who God is was affected by your parents and your environment growing up. It could even be affected by the church you grew up in, the theology they believe, your pastor, spiritual leaders, and things like that, but especially your parents as image bearers. Understand that. Number two, accept the fact that God is who he is regardless of your parents' behavior. And so I want to help you think through this for just a minute. Okay, we're just gonna kind of go through some reasonings here together. And I want you to respond. Now, first of all, you know, there are 6 billion people on the planet right now, so there's a lot of parents out there. Are all parents alike? All parents are not alike. Okay, that was easy. Are some parents better than others? Okay, not all parents. Let's review. Not all parents are alike, and some parents are better than others. Okay. Are there many different types of parents? Yeah, there are. Okay. Is there one God? There's only one true God in there. There are many different kinds of parents, but there's only one true God. Okay. Is God the same for all of us, or does he change from house to house? Okay, same. So we're saying now that God does not like have a little map and the names of the homes and the personalities of the parents, has the little angels coming with him, and he's going up and he says, let's go visit the Johnsons. Angels, let's go visit the Johnsons. We love the Johnsons, don't we? And the angel says, we sure do. And they're about to knock on the door and visit the Johnsons, and God says, now what's the personality of the parents here? And the angel says, pretty legalistic. And God says, thanks for telling me. Hello, I'm going to come in here. Let me in this door. I'm God, you better open up the door. Is that right, angels? That's you're doing a good job. That's the way that Johnson people. And then he goes to California. And it's the, you know, the Moon Daddy family. And he says, angels, This Moon Daddy family, how are they? And the angels say, laid back. Everything's fine with them. You know, they just call you the big man upstairs and they just like you a lot. And God says, that's great. And God just says, hey, can I come hang out for a while? Am I doing a good job, angels? You're doing a great job. That's exactly the way they are here. Is that the way it happens? Or is God actually God wherever he goes? Does he change based on culture? Does he change based on time? Or does your Bible say, and my Bible say, I am the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever I'm always the same. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, he never changes. He didn't change when he came to your home when you were growing up. It doesn't matter who your mom and dad were or were not. Their personalities, their behavior, their morals, their ideals, their priorities, their values, their financial base or view. All of that, it doesn't determine who God is. But I'm telling you, if they were poor image bearers, understand, it directly affected your concept of God. Because God, in the very beginning, designed parenting to be an image-bearing responsibility to train children how to relate to Him. The ultimate goal of parents is to lead their children to Jesus Christ, not to the front door when they're 18 years old. Though some parents have become very fixated on that moment. God put His image and His likeness on Adam and Eve. Then He commanded them to multiply. And He's never changed. The same wonderful, generous, loving God is the same God. So, for you to be set free from a distorted image of God, at some point in time, you have to make the disassociation. It's just got to happen. When I was growing up, I have wonderful parents, and they're both saved now. They weren't when I was growing up. They're wonderful people when I was growing up, but they're saved. We have a phenomenal relationship. My dad was very distant when I was growing up. He worked a lot. He was just a very, very hardworking man, good morals. He was a good provider, and he was a good disciplinarian. It was very easy for me to believe that God was a good disciplinarian and a good provider and a good God. But my father was not a very present father. He never came to our games growing up. When I say never, I mean it was a rare event if he would show up to an extracurricular activity for my brothers or myself. He just was not a very present parent, and he wasn't affectionate. Our family, we didn't have affection in our family, honestly. I did not physically touch my father from the time I was 3 till I was 35 that I remember. I mean, we were not lovey-touchy people. My relationship with my brothers was vicious combat every day. I mean, it was just survival every single day. We fought every single day. And so, my concept of God was, He's a good God. He's a good disciplinarian. He'll keep you in line. But He really doesn't know how much change is in my pocket. He really doesn't know my bank balance. He's really not a doting, caring Father. But the only problem with that is Jesus says in Matthew 6, He knows every bird that falls to the ground. And how much more does He know about you, O you of little faith? The children of Israel were just like many of us. They had grown up in a culture that did not properly bear the image of God to them. And based on that, they didn't pray. They didn't trust God. They didn't have a proper relationship with God. And Jesus came to them and says, if you truly understood who He really is, you wouldn't run away. You'd run to Him. You'd pray and understand that He hears every syllable. He's present. In my Christian walk, one of the greatest issues that I had to deal with to be able to get to a point of maturing in Christ and receiving what God had for me was the disassociation. Was getting to a point of saying, God's not like my dad. The good things, He is. The bad things, He's not limited by that. Here's the next step. To ask the Holy Spirit for help. The Holy Spirit is a powerful, powerful person of the Godhead related to this. Here's what Jesus says, John 16. When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit comes into our life to reveal God to us on a personal level. When you leave here tonight, I want you to understand, you really will be able to remember very few words of what I've actually spoken. That's okay, because He'll be with you. And when you leave here tonight and you lay on your bed tonight, or you wake up tomorrow morning and you begin to pray, here's the prayer to pray. Holy Spirit, lead me to God. Reveal the heart of God to me. I don't want to see God through filters. I lay all my past down. And if there's any misconception that I have about God, I'm asking you to lead me into all truth. That's what Jesus says. He will take of mine and disclose it to you. Disclose there means full disclosure. He will make a full disclosure of what is mine to you. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's His responsibility to comfort us, to guide us, to empower us, to reveal God to us. And only He can do it. If you look at God through, even if you're reading the Bible, through the lenses of your past, you will read past the things that your parents did not properly bear an image to. For example, if your parents were legalistic, you're going to read past the love scriptures. And you're going to find every scripture in here that talks about the judgment of God. There was a man that I ministered to for many years. And this man was raised in a very harsh and legalistic environment. And he kept going to the book of Hebrews, where it says, the people who cannot be forgiven of particular sins, of those that are hardened and God would not forgive. Talking about the most extreme of circumstances, but that's where he focused, because everything else he was blind to except the scriptures on harshness and judgment. The Holy Spirit, we must disassociate our parents with God and understand God doesn't change when He goes from house to house or time to time or person to person. He's the same God, and the Holy Spirit will reveal God to us. Here's one other thing, and that is to forgive your parents. And I've talked about the issue of forgiveness. Your mom and dad had the same issues that you have. Someone bore a negative image to them. If you're telling me that your parents were abusive or anything that they were, I can promise you, I can take you back to your grandparents and I can show you some bad image bearers in those cases. Your mom and dad have an excuse, and their excuse is someone did not bear the proper image to them. But you know what you can be? You can be the first generation in your family that stops that. You could become, some of you are in here tonight, and you've been beat up, you may have had a hard life and a lot of hurts. Wouldn't it be a blessing that you could be the first person in your family to wipe off the sin and to be a proper image bearer for your children and grandchildren? For the people around you. And that's what Karen and I have strived to do through our relationship, is we have wanted to take our marriage and our lives and deal with all the pain of our past so that our children would have image bearers in us. And I know we haven't been perfect, but I believe that we've improved on the last generation because we've forgiven them and we've acknowledged those issues. Let me end this session by talking about who God is based on the Bible, and we'll pray and we'll close. The Bible says that God is holy, that He is a holy God. Psalm 99 says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for our Lord is holy." Holiness means that God separates Himself from sin. He absolutely is separated from all sin. Theologians say it's the most important attribute of God because it ensures in all of eternity He will never decay or degenerate in any way. There's not a speck of rust on God or a speck of dust on God. He's absolutely pristine as it relates to His character. And the reason that's important is because if you grew up as Bob Guccione's son and your father was a publisher of pornography, or your parents were very immoral or whatever, you can often look at God and think, well, no one's perfect. And, you know, even God's got problems. No, He doesn't. God is absolutely holy, and He wants us to be holy like Him. And when we fail, the blood of Jesus will forgive us. But our standard becomes the standard of being like God. Secondly, God is loving and compassionate. 1 John 4, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is the absolute supreme definition of love. Psalm 145, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." James 5, it says, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. I've counseled people where their parents were just brutal. I mean, just legalistic, harsh, mean, abusive. I want you to know that God is very compassionate, the Bible says. And it says when Jesus came to multitudes and healed them, the reason He healed the multitudes is because He was moved with compassion. I want you to know God loves you. There are not words in the human vocabulary to explain the depths of God's love for you. I'm talking about the way you are tonight with all your problems. God will never love you more than He loves you tonight. His love cannot be changed. Every one of you here with children know, even when they're in trouble, you love them the same. Even when they've just done the worst thing they can ever do and you're frustrated with them, your love doesn't change. Do you think you're better than God? When your children are young and they're just a mess and irresponsible and can't do anything for themselves, you look to the day when they can. And you can love them even in that condition. When God takes you out of the gutter and saves your soul, and even before that day, He doesn't see you because of all your messes and relate to you on that basis. He sees you as the person He created in your mother's womb. He loves you as who He created you to be, not who people messed you up to be or who you messed yourself up to be. All your problems, Mary Magdalene and all the ladies that followed Jesus around, Jesus cast demons out of them, forgave them for all their sins, and pulled them into His inner circle. God loves people. That's what the Bible says. God is unchangeable. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6 says, God says, I am the Lord, I do not change. If your parents changed, if they were erratic or schizophrenic or whatever, they don't represent God properly. He never changes. Regardless of the weather, He never changes. Regardless of the economy, He never changes. God never changes. God is omnipotent, which means He has all power. Revelation 19:6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters, and is the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Matthew 19:26, it says, Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. When you grow up with parents who paint God as weak, they have a victim mentality, a welfare mentality. They just have a weak attitude of just being just helpless pawns on a sea of fate, and God can't help you. You can look and say, well, I know that God may be able to help for some things, but God can't help with everything. Folks, I want you to know God can do any single thing He wants to do. There's nothing in your life tonight that's impossible with God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And you need to see God as big as He is. The children of Israel went to the border of the promised land. 10 men came out and said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. We're all going to die. 2 men came out and says, this is no problem for God. They'll be our lunch. There was a massive difference in the way they saw God. And if you see a big God and little problems, you're going to go through life with an attitude of faith and victory. But if you see big problems and a little God, you're going to live your life in fear and all kinds of problems. God is omnipresent. Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Matthew 1, it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Jesus says, I'll be with you to the ends of the age. God is with us. Even if your parents were very detached and they weren't with you very often, understand, Jesus said, when I go away, I'll send back a helper. He'll be with you forever. Every morning you wake up, He's in bed with you. Every time you're in your car, He's there with you. Every time you're in the shower, He's there with you. Here tonight, God is sitting with you, whether you realize it or not. And then He says, if two or three will gather in my name, I'll put my special presence there. And so we know tonight that Jesus is here in a profound way because of all the numbers of people who are here, gathered here in His name. I want you to know you'll never be alone in all of eternity, because He's always going to be there. He's omniscient. 1 John 3, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Well, why is that important? Well, maybe your parents were ignorant. Maybe your parents were uneducated and they just didn't have answers. God does. He has every answer. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He can teach you how to be a mathematician. He can teach you how to be an architect because He is the one who put the universe together and holds it together with mathematical principles. He can teach you how to be a secretary, how to be a mother, how to be a father, how to be a cook. He can teach you all things. And last, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalm 119:90. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. Why is that important? Because maybe your parents weren't. Maybe they made promises and didn't follow through. Maybe they cheated on each other. Maybe they did something to demonstrate unfaithfulness to you. There's one young man that is an adult now, and I know him very well. And his father would promise him that he was going to pick him up and take him fishing. And he would get his little fishing rod and his little chest there. And he would go and he would stand on the corner for 4 or 5 hours. And his father never came, not one time. And every single time his father promised him he would come, he would get his fishing tackle box. Thank you. You can tell I'm a real fisherman. But his little tackle box and his little fishing pole, and he would go stand on the corner, and his father never came. What do you think he thought about God? Is he faithful? The Bible says his faithfulness endures to all generations. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if he ever lets you down, the universe will crumble because the universe is built on his character. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never, ever let you down. And you say, he has let me down. No, he hadn't. But maybe you were relating to him based on a distorted concept, and he would not relate to you based on that. And let me say this. God will not relate to you based on a lie. He will only relate to you based on the truth. And if you try to relate to him based on who your parents were or your misconcepts of who God is, he won't come through. And then you're sitting there saying he didn't come through. He's not going to come through when you're treating him as though he is someone he's not. An example is, I used to think that God was very distant. And I used to pray as though he was very distant. And I used to think as though he were very distant. And I often thought, God, why don't you come through? And it's because God was saying to me, Jimmy, you don't have to do something to get my attention. I'm right here. You don't have to do something, fast for 30 days to get me to notice that you're having financial problems. I live with you, son. Just talk to me like I'm a person. Just relate to me like I care. Because I won't relate to you that way. When Jesus came to Israel, he would not relate to the Pharisees based on who they wanted him to be. He would only relate based on who he really was. And that's what I want you to understand tonight. You cannot be set free until you touch Jesus. And you can only touch the real Jesus. There is no Jesus in the marred image of maybe who you think he is. That's not a real person. And that's why that God doesn't answer prayers, and that God doesn't come through, and that God doesn't work. Because there is no God like that. There's only one God, the real God. And he is who he is, irregardless of what your parents did.
This concludes session one. Please continue with Freedom from Unforgiveness, the next teaching in this series.